Tape recorded message number TL521. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Our study today begins with the 15th verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, beginning with verse 15. In the previous study, we saw how that the king of Judah, that he had commanded, or he had invited, I should say, every one of the people of Israel to be present at the Passover. In the 13th verse, we saw that there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great congregation. That word for congregation is the word kahal. Again, I tell you, the corresponding word in the Greek is ekklesia, and these were the representatives of the people, those that had the outpositions. That separated them really to a certain extent from the people, but it was a very great kahal, or as the Greek would say it, a very great ecclesia. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. All the altars for incense took they away, and they cast them into the brook Kidron. Now we come to the 15th verse where we start our study today. Then they killed the Passover. It was the kahal, the representative people of Israel, who were assembled there, who killed the Passover. That's the way that God said it should be done when he originally gave this. It was on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites, they were ashamed, and they sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received in the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation, that is, in this kahal, that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers, for every one that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun. Notice that how these are mentioned here. These are from the northern kingdom, and they're here to observe the Passover. Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun. They had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon every one." That was his prayer. Then that prepareth his heart to seek God the Lord of his Father, though he be not cleansed according to purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake temporally unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the fast 7 days, offering peace offerings, and making confession to the Lord God, that Yahweh Elohim, of their fathers. Now in the 23rd verse, 24th verse, 25th verse, we come upon this word kahal 7 times. K-A-H-A-L. Many people will wonder why I'm emphasizing this and why I'm making so much of it. It is simply because that this is the word which the Spirit of God uses interchangeably with the Greek word ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. When the Lord Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my ekklesia," everyone that heard his words understood what he meant. Because it was a very common thing for there to be an ecclesia or a kahal in the Hebrews. The fact it was called by two different names does not make any difference. You see, if we take the Spanish word or, O-R-E, and if we take our word gold, it doesn't make any difference what you call it. They're both the same. One is simply Spanish, and the other is English. And there are other words for signifies this precious metal just as well. That doesn't change its value at all. Now, if the Holy Spirit had not used these words interchangeably, we might doubt it. But we have no reason for doubting it here, since in the Psalms, the Spirit of God inspired the psalmist to say, in the midst of the Kahal will I sing praise to thee. And yet in the book of Hebrews it says, in the midst of the Ecclesia will I sing praise to thee, when that is quoted. Now, both of them said the same thing. Now, the whole Kahal took counsel to keep other 7 days. They had observed this for 7 days, and they kept the other 7 days with gladness. Now, it was the Kahal that could do this, not just a group of people to decide. But when the Kahal decided something, that made it binding upon every one that they represented. And they represented all the 10 tribes here and the 2 tribes. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the Kahal 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the Kahal 1,000 bullocks, 10,000 sheep. A great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the Kahal of Judah, notice, this speaks now of the Kahal of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the Kahal that came out of Israel. You see, this is called a Kahal because they represented the 10 tribes. Now, you know, we have what we call in our country the United States Senate. That is composed of 100, not men, it is composed of 100 senators, you see. These men, 2 from each state, the 50 states, they have a position which is out of their people. And all of them coming together, they form the Senate. And that would be the legislative Kahal, or the legislative Ecclesia of the United States, because their duty is to make the legislation for the people. And then it becomes binding upon all the people when the Senate and the Congress, which is also a Kahal, the House, which is also an Ecclesia, but this is a political Ecclesia. Well, to a certain extent, there was no separation between what we would call the Kahal and the government in Israel, for what was one was the other. And here we get the strangers. Now, that strangers would just mean foreigners. That is, they were not of Judah, that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah. They rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard. And their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. And of course, this reference is to the Yahweh in his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. You see, God can dwell in heaven and yet be present at every spot in the world equally. But he can center himself in heaven. God is not like I am. God is not like you are. He isn't even like a man. He's like God. And all we can do is to believe what he has said about himself. Now, when all this was finished, this is the 31st chapter, all Israel that was present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and in Benjamin, in Ephraim also, and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh were the 2 tribes that came out of Joseph. This was divided in their inheritance, and they control the greater part of the land that was in the northern kingdom. And So they went out in all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and all Phoenicia, and destroyed them all. And all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests, the Levites, after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gate of the tent of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbath, and for the new moons, and for the set feast, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And I suppose that you have noticed, maybe, this is the first time, and indeed a long time, that we have come upon the word tithe. It's something you'll hear every week in the churches, so on, but you don't find very much about it in the Word of God. And yet, if people would just quit taking certain passages, and they would go to the Bible, as I have done, and I've done it several times over, I don't know how many times, but several, 3 to 4, and look at every passage where the word tithe is mentioned, they might learn something about the tithe that they'd never thought of before. One thing that they would learn was that the tithe didn't have to do with money, but it had to do with farm products, had to do with the increase of the field, had to do with the increase of the flock, the herds, and so on. This was the tithe that they brought in abundance. But first of all, they brought the first fruits, and having brought the first fruits, then they brought the tithe. Now, it is well known that a tithe is a tenth. A tenth. And that seemed to them to be right. And these were the things that they brought in, one-tenth of all things, they brought it in abundantly. Now, quite often, because new people, ministers, especially, find this a rather good way to raise finances, they lay this law upon the people, paying no attention to all the rest of it, or even what the Bible has to say about the tithe. But they'll take hold of that verse about bringing all your tithes in the storehouse, and they'll say the storehouse is the church. And they will change it around and have it all working in their favor. And so instead of bearing any burdens, why the so-called churches just become burdens that have to be borne by the people. And there are groups that lay the law down to their people who will not only put one tithe on them, but will have a second tithe and a third tithe. And many people who find themselves involved in some of these big organizations, they find out that there is a law among them, and one group even keeps track of everyone by computer, so that they can tell when that their tithes have been paid, and they will collect from them as many as 3 tithes in 1 year. In 1 year. That's quite an amount. Now, I'm not going to take this one thing in the law and try to lay it on people just because it's an easy way to raise money. I believe in giving. I believe that God's people should give. I believe it. I don't say that they should give to me. I don't try to put out that when you give to me that you're giving to God. You're simply giving to the work that I do, which many of you believe is for the glory of God. And many of you believe it's faithful to his word, and many of you believe that it is standing for his word, and you see fit to give. Well, the Lord knows. But one thing I'm not going to do is to be a money raiser and always be holding the threat of tithe over people. You can't get answers to prayer, they say, unless you tithe. You can't get the healing that you're praying for unless you tithe. And so just make everything hang on this tithe, this one commandment. People say to me constantly, well, the Lord Jesus spoke of the tithe. Of course he did. He said, you tithe the mint and anise and cumin. You know what those were? Those were herbs that were used for seasoning. That's all that they were. Just the mint, the anise, and the cumin. When I was a boy, my mother used to raise certain things in a little garden that was by the side of our house. Just a little garden of our own. And she raised some garlic there. And it did quite well. And she raised a few green onions because she always liked to have these and cut up the tops and so on. And she raised some parsley. And these were just little things. Well, they were just for seasoning. We didn't make food out of them, but they were just used for seasoning. Now that's what mint and anise and cumin were. Then because the Lord said, this ought you have done, and of course they should. They were under the law, and the Lord was born under the law himself, and he was speaking to people who were under the law, and he says, this ought you to have done. But how welcome would it be if you would take the little green onions that you raised and take one-tenth of them and take them to church and put them in the offering plate on Sunday. So we ought to study more about this. I believe in giving. I believe that the Lord loves the cheerful giver. I believe this. I believe the Bible gives us standards of giving. But to lay one point of the law upon people and know that the Bible says that he that keeps the whole law yet offends in one point. Well, what about he that keeps one point and offends in all the rest of it? So let's be careful about these things. I'll have more to say about this at some later time. I just call your attention to the fact that this is the first time we come upon the word tithe in the studies of 1st or 2nd Kings or 1st or 2nd Chronicles. Well, let's go on. I don't want to digress too much. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, notice these were the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah. They also brought the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things that were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and they laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and they finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people of Israel at this pile of goods that had been brought in. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest, the house of Adok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers that would be rooms in the house of the Lord. And they prepared them, and brought in the offerings, and the tithes, and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shemaiah his brother was the next. He was the chief storekeeper, and then Shimei, his brother, was second to him. And Jehiel, Azaziah, and Nahath, Asahel, Jeremoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ishmachiah, and Nahath, Benaniah, were overseers. They were overwatchers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei, his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king, Azariah the ruler of the house of God. And Kor, the son of Imnah the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. And next to him were Eden, and Menahemon, Jeshua, and Shemaiah, and Amariah and Shechaniah, in the cities of the priests in their set office, to give to their brethren by courses, as well to the great as to the small. Beside their genealogy of males, from 3 years old and upward, even unto every one that enters in the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses. most of the genealogy of the priests for the house of their fathers, the Levites from 20 years old and upwards, and their charges and causes, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, their sons, their daughters, throughout all the congregation, but it's the word kohol, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. You see, this kohol were the men who had a set office. They had a public position in relationship to the people. They were the outpositioned ones, the great ecclesia that existed in Israel. Also the sons of Aaron, the priest, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men were expressed by name to give portions to all the males among the priests, so all of them were reckoned by genealogy among the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord, Yahweh that is, his Elohim. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. Now this brings us to the 32nd chapter. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came, and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and sought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains that were without the city, and they did help it. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains, and the brooks that ran through the midst of the land, saying, Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself, and built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Millo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably, right to the heart, encouraging to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid of this maid for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. The census would not have shown them, because they could not be counted. But he could say, There be more with us than with him. Now, the reason he could say this was he was calling upon the Lord. Because calling upon the Lord, he was already a man that we would call a believer. We saw that in the last verse of the last chapter, the 21st verse of the 31st chapter. Every work that he began with service, the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart to prosper. That's why it is now that he can call upon the Lord and say he's with us. So the 8th verse now, the 32nd chapter, with him is an arm of flesh, that's the king of Assyria. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send to his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege upon Lachish, and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah with Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, Whereon do you trust, that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst, saying, The Lord our God deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, Ye shall worship before one altar, and burn incense upon it? You see, to them their altars represented their gods. And they had to find these wherever they went, because they couldn't find them. They felt they were cut off with God. Well, the great altar in Jerusalem did speak of God. But let me tell you, they could go away from that, and God would be just as much with them as when they were standing beside it. So he said in verse 13, "Don't you know what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands, were the gods of the nations of those lands any way able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand? If your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand. Now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand, out of the hand of my fathers. How much less your God deliver you out of mine hand? And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel, and to speak against him, saying, As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. He's writing to others, saying, Look on this, and see. Verse 18, Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affright them and to trouble them that they might take the city. They're just trying to strike fear in their hearts. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work, as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the works of the hands of men. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, well, that's a good companion. Hezekiah, as Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed, and they cried to heaven. So the Lord sent an angel, a messenger, which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains in the camp of the kings of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, and those that were his sons, threw him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and the hand of all others, who guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord of Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, but he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. Well, in those days, Hezekiah was sick to death. He prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him, upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself before the people of his heart, before the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. He made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields, for all manner of present jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities, and possessions of flocks, and herds in abundance, but God had given him in substance very much. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon, and brought it straight down the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all of his work. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. He was tested. Good thing to do. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. And all Judah and Habsburgs did him honor his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Now we come to a sad chapter. It's a glorious chapter of the reign of Hezekiah. But now under Manasseh, who began with 12 years old when he began to reign. He governed. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the nations, the heathen nations, whom the Lord hath cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. That is, in Jerusalem shall my name be perpetual. Jerusalem, ever flowing. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. There was a man of Israel whose name was Hinnom. He inherited a very favorable spot of land, and it seemed that the grass grew better there, and that the trees grew more foliage, and so on. And this became a place where men did such things as causing their children to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Also, he observed pines. And used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wisdom. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, which God has said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house, and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name in perpetuity. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed to your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all things that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and statutes and ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the nations, which the Lord, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh, and he spake to his people, but they would not hearken. Whereupon the Lord dropped upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, well, notice this, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that he was Yahweh, he was God. And Yahweh was God. Now after this he built a wall without the city of David, on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the inner again, pardon me, at the feast gate. Encompassed about also, and raised it up a very great height, put captains of war in the same cities of Judah. And he took away the strange god and the idol out of the house of the Lord, all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. He repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. They were sacrificing in the high places, but yet unto Yahweh their Elohim only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the spears that came to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins and his trespass, the places wherein he built high places, set up groves and graven images before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign. He reigned just 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them. I suppose he sang an old song about old time religion, good enough for father and good enough for me. Let me tell you, I don't care who's elder before me, not good enough for me unless it confirms the word of God. But he never humbled himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more. So finally his servants conspired against him, those that served him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Now in the record of Josiah, in the 34th verse, 34th chapter, and the 35th chapter as well, we have the record of one of the most blessed times in all of Israel. And due to the fact that I guess I inhaled a little saliva. That often happens when we who produce much of it speak. It's good because our throats never become dry, but if we happen to be speaking and forget ourselves and draw in air at the same time, it can upset us for a moment, and that has happened in this case. Now, we've got just a little bit of Second Chronicles, and it won't take a full lesson to complete this. And when I get to the end of this, I'm going to give you some more on the subject of tithing. I got started on that, and you shouldn't start a thing and then just drop it. And so in our next study, we will add to it the list of passages, and look at the list of passages that have to do with the tithe in Israel, and see what we can learn from it. I trust that you will be listening to it. I know you will if you receive the tape, because it will be on the other side of this one. Now, I'm going to bring it to a close there, and till we meet again around the pages of God's book, I wish you well, and I bid you goodbye, and I say to you, perfect peace, and at such a time.